forgot what to say again. Okay, still do that now.
Yeah.
Council, come to order.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you, Connor. That is my grandson, Connor. And with him today are students from Highland Elementary School in Gresham, with their teacher, Mrs. Seltzer, and my daughter, Kim, as one of the accompanying adults. And today, we're going to have three students talk to us, Abraham Baltazar, Shakayla Hadley, and Cheyenne Smith. So if you three could come up. And Mrs. Seltzer, you're welcome to sit up there with them. I don't know. We only have three seats. I was out at their school recently on
Dr. Seuss's birthday
and read them one of the Dr. Seuss books for the class. So why don't, and make sure we point the microphones towards the children, or the children towards the microphone.
Lean in when you need to.
Okay, so that's yeah. Very good.
And these two have a book we did, so would you like them facing you?
This okay, way? Yes. Yeah, well, you can, either way, the cameras can pick it up either direction, so.
We're very glad to be here. This is a unique opportunity for us, so thanks for having us. And we were pleased to accompany the honorary mayor, Connor, this morning. our students have done a research project where they had to interview family members. We've recognized that most of us have relatives who've immigrated from other countries. And so their job was to go out and interview someone who had immigrated to America. So they're going to share our book with you, Coming to America.
Good. Could you introduce yourself when you speak? Just tell us your name.
Okay, my name's Abraham Baltazar.
Thank you, Abraham.
Coming to America. For a class assignment, we were each asked to interview someone who has immigrated to the United States.
I am Smith. Our families and friends came from different places around the world. They came from 8 different countries: Cambodia, Romania, Canada, Egypt, England, Germany, Mexico, and Iran.
Shakayla, life was difficult for some people in their homelands. They had to work really hard. They worked long days and many days. They were still poor. It was hard to feed their families. Some people interviewed lived in warmer places and they liked it there.
They came for a better life. They came for jobs. They came for freedom. And they came here for family.
Most of our families and friends traveled by airplanes. A few people traveled by foot, and that took a long time.
Others came by truck, car, or bus. One person interviewed came by ship.
They arrived in these places: Los Angeles, California; New York, New York; Oakland, California; Massachusetts; San Diego, California.
Most of our family celebrated American holidays, such as Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, Mother's Day, New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, and Cinco de Mayo. However, the celebrations may be different. Halloween is very different in America. They did not go trick-or-treating in other countries.
In Cambodia, they did not celebrate Christmas. Their Thanksgiving is to get out.
Most of the people we interviewed still have relatives in their homeland. They are brothers, sisters, cousins, and parents.
These are the things our families and friends miss: the food, her dad and mother, other family members, friends, and the warmer weather, the New Year celebration.
The people we interviewed enjoy life in the United States for many different reasons. They have fun here, the jobs are better, the women are safer here.
One of the men we interviewed said he appreciates the freedom in America the most. He says we can do anything and be whatever we want to be. Several others agreed they like our freedom. The roads are better, no potholes. Someone else likes America because of the many jobs. Better jobs mean more money.
One of the classmates' grandmother loves the beauty of Oregon. There are so many places to go. Another one said they like all of our parks.
They like being near family. One of our parents said, I can make more money and have freedom to give my kids what I never got to have. Someone else said, where we come from, we can't work and provide for our families. Here we can buy a house.
They said they have fun in the United States. Someone else said freedom. Women do not have to cover up here. We were also told that in America we have less smog and more space along with more opportunities.
We learned that America's immigrants enjoy having a real home and food. They appreciated the chance to have a good education and the chance to get a good job. The people we interviewed are very happy living here in the United States.
Learning about our families and friends was an interesting project. We are lucky to live in America.
Is that it?
Yep.
Yay. Thank you. Let's give them a hand.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mayor Connor.
That was great.
The City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Potter?
Here.
Please read the... I'd like to remind folks, prior to offering public testimony to the City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 601, request of Jacob Mercy to address Council regarding Scientology.
Good morning. My name is Jacob Mercy, and I'm here to speak about the subject of Scientology. I'm a member of a worldwide organization that has been protesting the church since February. I am alone today, and I'm alone today because I am required to state my name for the record. Many fellow members of my organization are afraid that if they spoke out in public that they would be targeted by the church. The church has an official policy of what's referred to as fair game. By speaking out today, I am in danger of being harassed. I am in danger of being picketed at my own house. In one very frightening case, one person was accused of being a pedophile in pamphlets that were handed out around his neighborhood. One woman had a bomb threat forged in her name. I am, however, speaking out anyway. I'm speaking out anyway because of the church's policy of disconnection, which separates family members from their loved ones if they criticize or leave the church. I'm here to speak out today because I am concerned about kidnapping and coerced abortions. Now, I'm also here to speak about Operation Snow White, the largest infiltration of the United States government. And here in Portland, a much more frightening incident where copies of the Willamette Weekly were stolen and the church was forced to settle because they were brave enough to publish an article critical of the church. There are also allegations that I believe can be proven where court records have been stolen from the courthouse that were related to Scientology lawsuits. And also, books from the public library critical of Scientology were also stolen. And we believe that this has happened here in Portland, and we believe we can prove this. Now, Scientology is currently banned in Germany and Russia, and there are legal proceedings in many other areas. Now, to be clear, we are not against the religion. We have no problem with people practicing their beliefs. We have no problem with the individuals. However, we believe that the policies of the church are dangerous and that action needs to be taken. We would like to call for an investigation, and we believe that the tax exemption status should be seriously questioned. There is documentation of pretty much everything I've mentioned in the handouts that I've given you guys today. And I would just like to say, whatever you need from us to take further action, we can provide for you. And I'm not a politician. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not sure what you guys can do, but we are pleading with you to do something. Thank you for your time.
Next communication.
602, request of Michael Miller to address council to protest the oppression of homelessness.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Michael Miller. I'm a 49-year-old Portland native and a homeless disabled veteran existing on SSI. We are living in dark and perilous times of economic disparity, collapse, and failure. A growing result of this failure is that every day, more people are becoming homeless. It is happening on all levels, from the professional to people existing on government assistance. It is happening all over the world due to wars, oppression, inflation, and a lack of real living wage jobs that are being eliminated here and sent overseas. This, to me, is a national crisis of vastly growing proportions that the leaders in all phases of government, from the president to the mayor of the city, who refuse to recognize, acknowledge, or deal with other than opening up more temporary transient beds and shelters. The number of homeless families, couples, single men and women, and folks with kids and or pets far outweigh the number of temporary beds or space available to stay together or to meet the needs of people where temporary beds don't solve the needs of who live here around year-round and are seeking permanent, affordable, and safe housing. The affordable housing the city has constructed are managed by greedy landlords who charge $400 to $500 to rent an apartment. People who exist on SSI, as I do, make around $600 a month that the government assumes will cover all a person's rent, utilities, bills, clothing, food, health care, transportation, prescriptions, pet care, and food and entertainment costs. I receive $160 in food stamps that do not meet my daily nutritional needs. To eke out a meager existence like this is very unhealthy and wrong. Why the richest country in the world can't solve these problems is way beyond my understanding. There are so many economic solutions that I can think of that I'm amazed and disappointed that the Housing Commissioner has not proposed even one of these solutions to deal with this emergency. It is the duty and obligation of the leaders of Portland to solve social issues that affect the homeless citizens of this city, and you are not. Instead, you are ignoring the issue and have given up on us as a community. This is not effective, compassionate leadership. Instead, it demonstrates an inability to recognize this as an emergency and to deal with it as such and find timely solutions to this most important of social issues. Being homeless is unhealthy and dangerous due to disease and police tactics and assaults from the public. This is an extremely stressful way to exist, as you cannot fully sleep or relax at any time due to unlawful ordinances dictated by the city to oppress the homeless. I'm asking the mayor, city hall, the governor, and the community of Portland to come together and unite as a whole to explore, generate, and find solutions to this emergency instead of ignoring it in the hope that it will either solve itself or that we will give up our protest and go away. This is not going to happen. Repeal the sit light and no camping ban ordinances immediately and permanently. Thank you.
Folks, please don't. If you want to show support, you can wave your hands, but please don't clap. Thank you.
Why did you
read the next?
The children?
That was part of the official beginning of the council. Thank you. Please read the next.
603, request of Katie Nielsen to address council regarding access to safe or affordable housing downtown.
Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Katie Nielsen. As you see, I brought my pack along with me, and it's in representation of the fact that a lot of people have to take their stuff with them everywhere they go because it's their house. My house is very small. I came to speak today not as a representative of the homeless folks outside, the front out there, or like as a leader, but as a human being who believes that homelessness is a result of the sin of a greedy society. I did not come here to address this government entity either, for it is not well. I came here because I want to appeal to the people that are actually going to make the change happen. And that is everyone here in our community. Everyone in our community. If we have representatives who are unwilling to look at the issues that are that are affecting our most vulnerable folks in the ways that are going to be meaningful and creative for them, that involve them in those issues, then we must go to the community, and we as a community must do something ourselves. I was very disappointed yesterday that the mayor had posted a sweep sign that they were going to make a sweep out front, and didn't happen. So I'm concerned that it wasn't delivered. I'm concerned with the inconsistency of what you have posted out there. You've said there's an illegal campground, and that we had 72 hours to vacate, and that we were going to be moved on, and that's what the police said, and you've not followed through with that. We're not going away, is what it comes down to. We're exhausted, we're undernourished, stressed by the unknown, and tired of consistent harassment. We're tired of playing power games with you guys. We don't want to do that. We just ask that you would care enough to listen and do something. Do something more than you're doing, because it's not working. And I say we because I represent everyone out here, because I could be homeless too.
Please read the next.
604, request of Rachel D. Williamson to address council regarding campers outside City Hall.
Good morning, Mr. Pond.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good to see you again.
Good morning. My name is Rachel Williamson. I'm 22 years old, and I have been on the streets on and off for 5 years with my boyfriend, Michael. We as a couple are here with the Homeless Liberation Front to voice the concerns to Portland City Council that shelters are not provided for couples. We need to find a way to include a place where spouses can be with their other half, especially when a good collection of couples are on the streets that have disabilities. They need to know that someone is there for them physically and emotionally. On May 5th, we spoke to Mr. Potter, Jamal Folsom, Commander Reese, and Mary Carroll, and two other citizens. We feel that it was a slap in the face. Mr. Rios had asked for an invitation to the 10-year plan advisory board. Sally Erickson has invited and asked Mr. Rios to talk to her about the housing for the homeless, the sit and lie ordinance, the camping ordinance, and the green zone. The green zone, which means a place where we can sleep and stay warm without having to have a lot of law enforcement interaction. We as a couple and everyone else protesting for the homeless Liberation Front protest will continue to protest in a nonviolent manner and demand our basic needs with the help of our allies that support our movement and what we are doing for all who can't be with us for the city of Portland's homelessness concern. Today, I'd like to take the time to thank you for listening to me and our concerns of a few others. Thank you.
Let's call the next.
605, request of Larry D. Reynolds to address council regarding homeless problem in Portland.
You state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Larry Reynolds. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I'm a resident of the city of Portland. Dear sirs, we as a collective group of citizens with a multitude of issues and ideas, are gathered here at City Hall in solidarity and love. Even though it seems somewhat unorganized, there's a higher power in control of what's going on all around this country. Without malice and anger, we have come to City Hall to raise awareness of city officials and the public's view of who the homeless are. There's a misconception. We are first and foremost citizens of the United States of America. We have a voice. We are nurses. We're doctors. We're lawyers. We're carpenters. We're Christians. We're social workers. We're children. We're brothers and sisters. We're mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, to name only a few. It is our human and civil right and constitutional right to be involved with the decision-making process, which is, establishes laws, and those who enforce the laws over us. We are gaining cohesiveness and support as answers and awareness and conversation grow. And as we converse, we realize that in love we all share a common bond. The sit and lie and no camping ordinance, which have been implemented by the city and enforced by the Portland Police Bureau and several security agencies in the metro area, are a direct reflection on our human, civil, and constitutional rights. If you're going to tell us that we can't be here, then you need to find somewhere for us to go before you tell us that. That place is not jail. We are not criminals, although we have that problem in our community just like you do in yours. In your neighborhood, we have that problem also.
Sir, your
in
time
ours.
Is up.
We applaud your efforts, and may God bless us all in all our decision-making process. Thank you.
Is that it on the communications?
That's all the communications.
Okay. We'll move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda?
No.
I'm talking to the commissioners right now. Does a member of this audience wish to pull any item from the consent agenda?
Yes, please.
What is that?
All of them.
Nope. Take your choice. Which one?
One moment. I'll check with my assistant here. Number 608. Let's see here.
Thank you. We're going to pull 608.
610, 611, 612.
Sir, that's enough.
617, 618, 619. I'm sorry, you asked.
To help the man out. You're being disruptive.
I would suggest that was a dilatory move. We don't have to take those off.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
I ask you to leave.
No, thank you. I have a right to make commentary on
you this. Don't have a right during council to disrupt council, period. Understand?
No, I don't.
Then leave. The gentleman is disrupting the council.
In what way?
Asking you to please abide by the rules of the council. We listened to you folks. You had folks come up and speak. Now we have to conduct the business of the city.
We have rules of order, and you guys clearly don't want to comply with them, and you're not sincere in what you're saying. Well, the rules were explained, and they were fairly explained by the mayor, and your object is to disrupt the council, and that's not fair to everybody else. So,
I think you're presuming a lot.
Example, what you're doing right now.
Folks, would you please comply with the regulations and the rules of the city council? They're meant so that everybody can have a fair hearing. We've listened to your people. It's time now to conduct the business of the city, and I'm asking you to then refrain from any further action. Sir, you're not allowed to speak. Please sit down.
Isn't this a consent agenda?
Please sit down.
I wanted to pull some items off the consent agenda.
Okay. Please call the vote.
Were there any polls?
No.
Yeah. Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 606, council to convene as budget committee to approve a budget.
I'm convening the council as the budget committee for the city of Portland. This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the State Revenue Sharing Regulations, ORS 221.770. This allows citizens to come in on the possible use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the FY 2008-09 budget anticipates receipts totaling $4,734,942 from state revenue sharing. As has been the case in prior years, it is proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention and police patrol services. Is there anyone here who wishes to be heard on this issue? Go ahead and start. Casey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Casey Short, Financial Planning Manager. Moving to summary of the changes the Budget Committee may wish to incorporate into the approved budget. It's in the memo in your packet. I just want to highlight a few things. There are some programmatic changes, including addition of a Gray to Green program in the Bureau of Environmental Services, establishing 8 positions and a total cost of $5.2 million. It provides for funding of the Business Solution, the EBS project, for $16.2 million. The council was briefed on this and approved contracts last week. There are 3 special appropriations to note. One is a reduction in the Project 57 service coordination team by $843,000, an increase of $150,000 for Artist Repertory Theater and the Regional Arts and Culture Council Arts Partners. In Attachment C, which lists technical changes, there are some large ones, mostly dealing with timing of bond issues and work on projects. I will forego going through those in the interest of time unless someone has a question.
Is this memo dated May 8th?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks.
And it also lists the budget notes, and there is no change from the proposed budget in any of the budget notes, which has been distributed for some time.
Okay. The Budget Committee now discusses any changes that wish to incorporate in the approved budget.
So I have a few, if it's the right time, Mr. Mayor.
Please.
My wish to get uniformed officers, street officers, back into the gang task force by civilianizing the 5 officers that currently do, I believe, background checks are part of the background check process. And I want to emphasize, without disrupting our hiring process, you are going to work on some possible strategies to do that using existing resources. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered if you could report on your efforts.
What we have looked at, Commissioner Adams, is alternatives for freeing up funds in the police bureau to civilianize these positions without having to cut any positions. And what I the best recommendation I was able to come up with was to freeze the funding for the number of positions that have historically not been filled in police in order to make the funds available so you could civilianize those positions and free up those officers. Other than that, it would take reductions in the police bureau budget or somewhere else in the general fund in order to free up those funds.
Did you have as police commissioner, do you have an opinion on using the authorized but unused portion of the personnel?
Perhaps we could get Assistant Chief Brian Martinick to respond to that. Has this been a request? I didn't see it before.
Yeah,
Casey,
3 weeks ago.
Were you going to provide us today with a timeline for decision points on the rainy day fund being either created in whole or in part in this year's budget?
Yes, I was going
versus the bump too.
To give you that orally. I don't have it written up, Commissioner Salzman. Whenever it's appropriate and the council wants to hear it.
But I'm in the middle of a question.
Yeah, no, I
Stacy, did you want to come up and be part of the answer, or is Assistant Chief?
I just wanted to clarify that we're talking about civilianizing crime analysts, actually.
Sorry,
the background investigators.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm Stacy Jones with Financial Planning.
I apologize. You're right.
It's the crime analysts. I just wanted to point that out. And I think there are actually six of them. I don't know if you're interested in civilianizing all six.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm coming into this late. I just learned of this just now.
Okay.
So
you can get back to us. I don't want to waste your time or mine, but the idea of civilianizing a portion of those crime analysts, which are currently uniformed officers, and since their bodies in uniform, transferring them to repopulate the street uniform gang task force outreach effort. I'd welcome your ideas and thoughts on ways to do that are additive to the Bureau.
And I did put together like five or six alternatives for you, Commissioner Adams, in case you mentioned the one that we thought was the best, but there are also some other options we identified.
So maybe it would be okay with you, Mayor, that they could caucus and get back to us.
Okay.
The other question I had is on wellness.
Thank you, Brian.
I'm concerned that we're under horsepowered in the wellness area, and I'd be interested in hearing back. I talked briefly to Yvonne about what it would take to get more of a wellness program in place, and if you could follow up with her, the idea of $250,000 is just very rough off the back of an envelope calculation that she made, and if we included it in the overhead, it might give us more capacity to get on top of that issue.
Yes, sir.
And the other issue is the Human Relations Commission. I've made a commitment, and I believe the mayor has well, to fund it on an ongoing basis. I realize with the firefighter settlement, though, that of $1.5 million, that might make it really difficult, and so I was wondering, I'd like the council to entertain a budget note committing to ongoing funding, even if we can't, by the end of this process, if we cannot by the end of this process come up with ongoing resources.
Well, I would like to discuss that issue before we move to that.
Okay.
Things I'm going to do is to ask the continuance of the budget committee until June 4th in order to work out some of the outstanding issues, and also in terms of transparency, so that folks can see what the process is and what are the issues. So,
I thought I'd flag it now.
Okay, good.
And then the last issue, just to have some discussion on, is I've been getting a lot of inquiries on the rent assistance portion of the school's family housing. I'd like to get some information back from the bureaus on the success factors around that.
My understanding is, in the discussions that we've all been having about the amending the budget before us, is that the $500,000 that's for the COLA increase for Central City Concern, TPI, and JOIN, I believe includes rental assistance.
Okay. Good
but check. I think we need to ask Central City that question. I believe it does, okay. But I'm not sure. I think it includes some kind of housing assistance over and above the COLA,
okay.
As I recall.
I was just going through a few issues. The information that I've been given, I'll be happy to share with you, Casey, is that the amount that was budgeted last year served 121 families, up to 5,000 in stabilization support for 1 year, not renewable for the second year. Touchstone Partners is the firm that, or the organization that does the casework. And I'll give you this information. Maybe you can gather some.
Do you have an amount that was funded last year?
500,000 last year, 450 the year before. Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I think that that
is somewhere in there.
I think that that's that. Okay. It's, and then we can find that out.
That's all I have right now.
Other commissioners?
Well, I don't know if this is the appropriate point, but not to belabor it, but I do want to know what the
yes. Last week, when the council adopted a rainy day fund resolution, you asked that I be prepared to give you a timeline this week on when we would have the information available on that. My staff has been working diligently on the spring bump, and a part of the analysis, a big part, has become analyzing projections for year-end spending, looking at what revenues are coming in, looking at what requirements there are for the compensation set aside, those sorts of things, end-of-year expenditures, in order to see whether we can determine with some confidence that there will be additional funds at the end of the year that you could use to establish a rainy day fund by creating it as a beginning balance in the 08-09 budget. We're pretty close to that. My hope is that we can get you something with some degree of confidence by tomorrow. If it's not tomorrow, it will be middle or late next week because of staff vacations. We've got a couple of folks going out of town. On the line item analysis,
middle to late next week.
Next week. Okay. It will either be tomorrow or mid to late next week. The line item analysis I was planning to have folks work on after they got done with the analysis I just spoke about, and I expect that ought to be done the week of May 26th in working it through the time. So it will certainly be done in time for the adopted budget, both pieces. Depending on when the council approves a budget, you may or may not have the information by then.
So I will just point out some of the concerns I have with the budget that we're considering. And I've discussed this with each of my colleagues in our own meetings, but in the interest of having transparency consistent with what the mayor's interest is, we contract with Central City Concern Transition Projects and JOIN to provide services to the homeless and people with alcohol and drugs, drug addictions. They have not, the people that work there that we help fund, have not had a cost of living increase for 2 years. And these folks don't make a lot of money anyway. They mostly do what they do because they're dedicated to the line of work that they're in, but they still, as they've described to me, have to pay their rent and have to buy food, have to buy clothes for their kids, and they're going to move on if they can't get a raise. So I'm interested in making sure that we build into the budget money to give those folks a cost of living raise, and that's not in the proposed budget that we're considering. The mayor and I have, I don't know that he and I disagree on this, but we have discussed funding alternatives to prostitution. That's not specifically laid out in his budget. In this proposal that I'd like to see us consider, there is a program to fund alternatives to prostitution, which I think, again, the mayor and I agree is a better approach than just jailing people and for those kinds of activities, that there's a better way to help people not live that lifestyle, and counseling and programs exist to help that. So I'd like to see that specifically addressed. I would like to see the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center receive some modest funding to stay open. I mean, I understand that we've made agreements with them in the past, and this is an extension over and beyond what we thought we'd agreed to in the past, but it's a significant service for the community, particularly for those interested in the arts. And I would like to see that be funded. And beyond that, there's a host of other more technical items that I don't know that there's a lot of disagreement on. It's just that we are proposing to fund them different ways so we free up dollars for these programs that I'm mentioning. To the issue of ongoing funding for the Human Relations Commission and otherwise, one of the struggles we have is trying to obviously make sure we meet all the commitments that we have, but yet fund programs that are important. And the Human Relations Commission is important, and I think there's a commitment to fund it, but in order to be able to balance our budget, given the settlement we've just had with the firefighters, it's going to be a challenge to be everything to everybody in the way they want us to be. And I'm not sure how we can get there. I'm open to discussions, as I'm sure everybody else on the council is, to figure out how to make sure we fund everything that we would like funded. But it's going to be a struggle, and it's certainly not a statement for me or anybody else about our commitment to the Human Relations Commission. It's more of an approach to fund it in a way that allows us to balance our budget, and I'm quite convinced, with or without the amendment that Commissioner Adams would like as a footnote, budget note, that we would fund it next year and beyond. We seem to always have one-time resources, and I think all of us would consider that a top priority.
Any comments, Commissioner?
No, I mean, we do have to, as was said earlier, the firefighter settlement. We need to figure out how we're going to pay for that.
Okay, well, there's obviously a number of issues that the council needs to discuss, and I think everybody's preference is to have all four members agree as to the final budget. So with that, we will go into the public hearing portion. How many folks have signed up for this?
We have 24 people.
Okay. You're going to be restricted to 2 minutes. And let's begin with the first three.
First three are Catherine Knotson.
I wonder, we have Commissioner Nato here from the county. I wonder if we could ask for her to come forward first.
Excuse me, Commissioner Nato.
I do have to get back, so thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Lisa Nato, Multnomah County Commissioner. And I'm here to support the Domestic Violence Walk-In Center as part of the 2002. It's a part of our community-based victim services plan that was adopted by our board in 2002. I want to appreciate the leadership of Commissioner Saltzman and also Mayor Potter on victim services and the entire city council. I also chair the local public safety coordinating council, and recognizing the public safety issue of domestic violence has been at the forefront of that council for the 12 years since it's been in inception. Certainly, the evidence supports that this is a major public safety issue. 40% of all person crimes are domestic violence, and 25 to 30% of homicides. $12 million in police, prosecution, court, probation, jail, and victim services.
Commissioner, excuse me a minute. Sir, you're not allowed to read the newspaper in here up so the people behind you can't see it. So please desist from doing that.
Sorry, I was just holding.
No, you weren't. You were holding it up. Please proceed. I'm sorry.
So this is the evidence is clear that this is a major public safety issue, but it goes far beyond that. I think the most difficult thing I've done as a county commissioner is co-led the domestic violence fatality reviews with Judge Kosh and Chiquita Rollins. We walk step by step through the life of somebody who's been murdered in our community at the hands of an abuser and ultimately murderer. We try to figure out what we could have done differently as government officials, as the police have been involved. Everyone tries to figure out what to do differently, and it's very clear that public safety is important. It's number one, to keep someone safe. But more than that, they need to have access to services. Victims need to know how to keep safe through restraining orders and safety plans. They need to have financial supports for living. Often abusers are responsible for maintaining the household. They need to know how to keep their children safe, where to get health care, how to get counseling, and how to protect themselves in their workplace. So this one-stop shopping would allow people to have access to services for themselves and their families in one place, and that could make the difference. I believe it will make the difference in saving lives in our community. Again, thank you for your leadership in including this in your budget.
Thank you, Commissioner Nato.
Thank you.
Please read the first three names.
First three are Catherine Knotson, Martha Perez, and Andrew Seaton. They'll be followed by Judge Dale Koch, Chiquita Rollins, and Carol Westinger.
You state your name when you speak.
My name is Catherine Knotson, and I'm from the South Tabor neighborhood. I'm here to testify on behalf of the Mount Tabor Central Facilities Yard and Planning and Nursery Planning Committee. I understand that there was $200,000 that was not originally funded for us to complete our work this year. We had made a commitment to you to come up with a plan to update the yard because the facilities are in such wretched shape. And what I have researched is that these facilities were built beginning with the time of the park superintendent's administration of Charles Paul Kaiser, who was superintendent between 1917 and 1949. During his tenure, these facilities were not upgraded or improved upon. They were just added to over time. But when he funded the park system's expansion, improvements to these facilities were not included whatsoever. And so what I'm asking you is that you will allow us to finish our commitment to you that we had promised to come up with a plan to update those facilities, and that we've made our that we can complete our commitment to the public to see that it's done so that the city employees in the park yard can adequately do their jobs in order to maintain the rest of the park system. I thank you for your time and consideration on funding the remainder of our work for the remaining $200,000. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, and thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for your hard work on the budget. It's been a crazy process, and you know, wish you the best of luck.
State your name for the record.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Martha Perez. I reside at 920 Northwest Kearney, number 110 in Portland, 97209. I'm speaking out, one, as a general political activist and as a current candidate for public safety. I'd like to hold up a copy of Street Roots, the latest edition, and I would like to talk about what could have been, should have been for the budget. And you've done a lot of great work. I would have liked to have seen a larger arts, a portion for the arts, so we could have created a cottage industry of artists providing sustainable arts-based products and services. What else? Just I think we're going to be dedicated, again, as Randy mentioned, to the Human Rights Commission, that it be fully funded, which, you know, the four factors that we came up with, serving the immigrant populations, we, you know, they did a lot of hard work on that, and if it's not going to be fully funded, it's not breaking a promise, but it's not fulfilling it either, fulfilling a vision for this great city. I would have liked to have seen more funding for education, K through 20. That permanent trust fund is an excellent idea for education. I don't think we're ready for an earthquake, for emergency management. I know we'll do the best we can if hopefully, God willing, would not ever happen in Portland, but I just think that I don't know if our priorities are truly in the right best interest of the common good, but I really wish you luck on that. I know that there are many other interests, large businesses that we're dealing with, you know, other pressures from other sectors. So definitely wish you the best of luck, and I dedicate this testimony to this man. He is not an illegal alien, and he was a human being. Thank you.
My name is Andy Seaton. Just going through the budget here today, just noticed that you're adding $1.6 million to the golf fund for a total of almost $10 million that the city is spending on golf, as opposed to the rather chronic issue of homelessness that that the city has been dealing with. And it's great that you guys have a 10-year plan. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean that it's going to take 10 years to solve this problem, because there are people that don't have a place to sleep tonight, even, and there are folks that aren't allowed in the shelters, and there are folks that that the shelter system doesn't work for them, or that they have problems with individual people in shelters. And you guys have a great phrase called reasonable time, place, and manner to protest or whatever. And when the situation works out that there is that you're not allowed to sleep on private property, and you're not allowed to sleep, exist, sit down, walk slowly, congregate in groups of three or more, according to the sit-lay ordinance, in groups of anywhere in the downtown, there is no reasonable time, place, and manner to exist as a homeless person. And there's also problems with sit-ins. You know, the last time that you guys posted a camping ban out in front of this building, I was sitting out there holding a 3-foot by 2-foot copy of the Bill of Rights, and you decided to not come when that expired, when that camping ban expired, but come at 3 o'clock in the morning the next night when I wasn't around. And you've also, last time that you folks attempted to arrest me, I was being arrested for, actually I was not even arrested for the crime of having a chair, and I got dropped on the concrete and sent to the hospital. Ended up costing the city $10,000 in a settlement that I had through Stephen Sherlag. And if you guys try to arrest me here today, I'm going to passively resist again. It's probably going to take more than just a couple of officers to carry me out of here, and I do weigh 450 pounds. Thank you.
Let's call the next.
Next three are Judge Dale Koch, Chiquita Rollins, and Carol Westinger. Let's go with Rob Wheaton, Bishop A.A. Wells, and Hugh A. Price. They'll be followed by Robert Richardson, Renault Catalani, and Casey Jama.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
My name is Rob Wheaton. I'm with Oregon AFSCME Council 75. I'm here today to speak on behalf of the employees at Transition Projects Incorporated, who are Oregon AFSCME members. As you know, Transition Projects Incorporated serves some of the neediest population in the city, the homeless. Among those homeless includes some of the most scarred veterans returning from war. Right now, we're in the process of bargaining over the wages and terms and conditions of employment for a new contract. Our goal here is simple and modest. It is to protect against, to basically keep them afloat and receive a cost of living increase to help offset the rising prices of food, gas, et cetera. As you know, the CPI came in, the Consumer Price Index came in for the Portland area at 3.7%. Unfortunately, we're being met from the employer standpoint of they just don't have the money to spend, and that's largely in part due to the fact that the budget doesn't have any sort of increase in funding for this agency. Right now, these employees are making about $11 to $12 an hour, $13.80 for case managers who handle these veterans' affairs. And what they're finding is that, despite their heart being in this work, they're not economically able to continue doing it. And when we have turnover at this agency, it results in a disruption of the services, and it basically makes them ineffective in delivering their services. So what we've also noticed is that these employees are basically a paycheck away from being clients of the agency themselves. So I'd ask that somehow you find a way to approve this additional $500,000 for CCC, TPI, and JOIN. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Hugh Price. Good morning, Mayor Potter and commissioners. I am representing the Portland Parks Tennis Association, and I'm requesting the reinsertion of the $94,000 one-time request for funds for the Portland Tennis Center. I am also a senior citizen who lives mostly on Social Security. I count on the Portland Parks system and tennis for most of my recreation and exercise. I share this with numerous other seniors. Many of the people I meet on the courts and in the parks are in their 70s and 80s. Tennis is a sport you can play your entire life,
and people in Portland demonstrate this every day. Recreation is a vital part of a healthy lifestyle, and a healthy city supports its sports and recreation. You've heard at a previous meeting about the sad state of disrepair that we find many of our public tennis courts in. I'm here today to urge you to financially support our parks and tennis courts. I thank you for your time.
Yes, Mayor Potter and members of the council, I'm here in support of the permanent funding of the Human Rights Commission, and I'm amending that.
State your name for the record.
I'm sorry. Bishop A.A. Wells, I am sorry. I'm Bishop A.A. Wells. Again, I'm here in support of the permanent funding of the Human Rights Commission, and I'm amending that to include the Office of Violence and Violence and Prevention. I'm gravely concerned with the issue before you relating to permanent funding of the Human Rights Commission. The one-year funding alternative proposal, in my mind, is a clear signal of a lack of support for this proposal long term. The question then is this a signal there is a lack of support for the notion of human rights or something else? There is just too much that has gone on in the past in our society in the way of disenfranchisement, which in my mind the commission is to speak to, and to hear the uncertainty of the signal that this sends is unsettling. For many in our society, they may have the luxury of deciding now or deciding later. But for others who is often disenfranchised, it is a resounding sound of justice delayed, justice denied. Thus, in my strongest appeal to you as a council, that you send a clear signal, a permanent and clear commitment. Some of us are affected greater than others in the decision you're about to make. We understand the value of permanent funding in your budget and the items that are not, and the signal it sends. I therefore, with the strongest term possible, ask that you send a clear signal of support to all citizens of this community by approving the permanent funding for these two items. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Robert Richardson, Renault Polo Catalani, and Casey Jama. They'll be followed by Brad Dennis, Rebecca Black, and Ron Laster.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name and your speak. You each have 2 minutes.
I'm Robert Richardson. Good morning, Mayor and City Council members. I first come to say that I want to thank this office for allowing the privilege of the Office of Violence and Prevention to be assembled. I think that there was one of the greatest things that could have happened at the time that it came about. I realize that funding and budget issues have been something that has really been up against us as a city. But I also come to echo a sound, refined understanding about why I believe that this office should not only be a part of this system, but it needs to be a consensus that we have this continuum. I realize that there's two items that I wish to talk more in specific about. One is that the permanency of this office and the funding therefore, and to adapt in the budget that it would not only be a one-year program that would have to come to the table each year to be able to solicit for the funds that became available initially. I feel that this says to a certain degree that this program, this office, should not just be a date, but it should be a marriage. And this city is going to grain itself in the more successful ways in which this can come about. We realize that there was a short notice of a time and there was a critical situation, coupled with the things that were going along with the situation with the new Columbia Villa. But in my 20-year reign of working with youth, and in the service of trying to prevent folks from going to jail and keeping violence down, this had been the best money that has ever been spent. And the reason that I say that it has been the best money that has ever been spent because it got the most mileage out of what it had to do with what it was doing. And I solicit not for no one program, but I solicit for the fact that this office and this work should continue. And I think that if this office has a conscience and a beer of understanding that it started this work, that this be a continuum, that it could stay and hold the city accountable to youth and young folks that have lost their way with the services of others that could keep them on that pathway. Thank you.
Thank you. I wonder if I might address your concern and Bishop Wells, because I think you've been misled with the distinction between one-time money and ongoing. This council, or any council,